You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Welcome to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And today we have two very special guests. I'm just so pleased. Today we have Terry Schilling with us from the American Principles Project. He is the president of the American Principles Project, and we're going to talk all about what that is. But in brief, it is the premier national organization engaging directly in campaigns and advocacy on behalf of the family. And we also have Mallory Millett, who is one of our regular hosts on Ladies of Liberty. But the reason that these two make such an interesting couple together on this show today is because their paths are pretty much opposite in many, many ways. So Mallory's sister, for our audience who doesn't know, was Kate Millett, who was one of the National Organization of Women founders, and she was somebody who was against the family, who was determined to break up families. And Terry Schilling is completely on the opposite end. He's one of 10 kids, and he is for the family. He's a defender of families. And therefore, as president of American Principles Project, he is advocating legislatively and in every way possible for families in America. So welcome, Terry. Welcome, Mallory.
Thanks for having me.
Very glad to be here.
But Terry, I want you to start and tell people a little bit about your organization and what it does and what it means. And then, you know, I want to kind of bring Mallory in after that to talk about, you know, the kind of the dichotomy here between where she's been and where she is now, and how an organization like yours today in America is so very important.
Of course. So basically, we fill the political gap for families. You know, everyone in Washington, D.C. has a special interest group. There's big pharma, big oil, big tech, big tobacco, but there's no big family that's representing families, getting people elected and unelected based on their positions on family. So what we're doing is we're organizing families directly in politics, and we're engaging them in very effective races that matter, right? So we want to make sure that families know that politics is important, campaigns and elections matter, and that if they really want to take back this country, if they're concerned about what teachers are teaching their children in school or what people are putting on the internet on some of these websites, they need to get engaged in the political process because that's how you make change. So we just, you know, we're like the NRA, but instead of guns, we do families in politics. It's that simple.
Well, it's wonderful to be coming acquainted with you, Terry, and I've looked you up a bit and I'm very impressed with your work. You know, being the sister of the person who really popularized Marxism in America, because she instituted all of the women's studies classes in every single college and university in America. She packed her bags and she took planes and trains and automobiles all over the United States because she was chairman of the Education Committee of National Organization of Women that had just been founded. So she founded these women's studies classes in every upper school, college, university in America. And by doing that, they have Marxified all the women in the country. It was a very simple formula. Madeline Murray O'Hare in the 60s took God out of the schools, and Kate Millett took mommy out of the home. And if you get God out of the schools and mommy out of the home, you've pretty much destroyed a society. You don't really have to do much. Those were just two little matches you needed to light, and the whole thing is over these last 50 years has gone up in smoke. So one of the things that these women strove for and wanted very much to do was to they wanted to destroy the family. My sister came out of Oxford University as a full-blown Marxist, trained personally by Herbert Marcuse. Herbert Marcuse is a notorious Marxist educator in America, and he trained my sister through her PhD called Sexual Politics. But one of the ways that they were going to spread this Marxist hatred for the family was going to be to fan out all over the United States these 11 to 13 women who were meeting every week and setting up this scheme was to promote promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality. Those were the five things that they agreed to promote through everything they did and through all the people they worked with in the future from those meetings on. So they did that. And the other thing they wanted to do was to destroy all taboos so that there would be no taboos. It was absolutely immoral to these people that there was even such a thing as a taboo, because nothing that a human being does is wrong. Everything is good. So that they wanted to get rid of the taboos of abortion, homosexuality, bestiality, polygamy, cannibalism, incest, drugs, adultery, theft, witchcraft, pedophilia, pederasty, prostitution, orgyism, theft. These were all taboos to be smashed. And if you want to destroy a city or a country, you just get rid of all those taboos. And you've got the mess that we have now.
I think that's exactly right. You know, you listed so many things on there that and most of them have come to fruition. There are a few, you know, where I don't think, you know, I haven't seen anything in the news lately about bestiality, but everything else that you listed, the theft, the sexualization of children, all, they've eliminated every bit of taboo to the point where even prostitution essentially is accepted now. You know, they have these websites where young girls who need money can go on and prostitute themselves, make videos and take pictures that can never be erased, that are going to be permanently out there in the ether. They have, it's just absolutely insane. Like, when I was a kid, my parents had to worry about me getting my hands on a Playboy, right? Or maybe a Hustler or a Penthouse, something really, really bad at the time. But now I have to worry about my two daughters and whether or not they're going to become prostitutes and porn stars online at college just to make a little, a few extra dollars on the weekend. It's
so you'll hear these women say, I needed to work my way through law school, so I was a call girl. And I'm going, what? Excuse me? And they say this as an absolute, well, I had to go into prostitution because I had to make my way through. So it was, you had to do prostitution? Mm-hmm. Just flabbergasted.
I don't know. Somehow I got a regular job. I don't know.
I worked in a bookstore. Yeah, I worked in a bookstore on campus. I don't know about you, but you know.
Well, take this for example, and this is something that keeps me up at night, especially with my boys, and because I want my boys to be social. I don't want to have to be a helicopter parent. I want them to be able to have sleepovers. But one thing that really bothers me, and this is just a sign of the total decay of our country and our society and all of these norms, is the fact that online pornography is 100% unrestricted, and I mean that in every sense of the word. I mean, the pornography is incredibly violent. There are no limits onto what is out there. There are no limits on who can access it. There are no limits on when they can access it. There are no limits on where you can access it, right? Like any kid, I tell parents today, any kid, giving your child a smartphone is akin to child abuse, because the access that they have to obscene and grotesque and really evil content online is it is so bad, and it harms them and stays in their minds for the rest of their lives. One thing that's really frustrating, and one of the reasons why I started this big family membership program for families to get engaged in politics, is because when I would meet with politicians, and these are conservatives, right? These are, or at least who we think are conservatives, they would tell me, well, we can't regulate pornography online because we just don't know what it is. It's really tough to distinguish between pornography and art and the First Amendment protects all this. First of all, it's all wrong. For the vast majority of this nation's history, we actually banned pornography and explicit content. It's totally crazy. So, and by the way, we do a really good job of keeping not just pornography off of television, off of broadcast television, but
right.
We also keep explicit content off of there. So there are standards somewhere out there that the broadcast networks have to follow that they abide by to keep pornography off of broadcast television and radio. But apparently when it gets on the internet, it just gets all lost and we don't know what's up and down.
Yeah, but they do know how to ban the president of the United States.
Right, exactly.
They've put him off the air. They put Eric Metaxas off of YouTube. Oh, they knew really well how to do that. But Larry Flint and Hugh Hefner got in there, those two devils, and they created this world, you know. And you remember when Larry Flint came out and there was the big whole test and they decided that he had to be allowed to do whatever he wanted to do, you know, exposing all these middle sections of the Penthouse magazine with these completely open shots of women's genitals and all of that. It's appalling.
Well, it's much worse on the internet now. And, you know, to the point that you were talking about, Terry, with the kids, I have so many women that I have spoken to who have teenage boys who, you know, maybe the parents are working and the boys are, I don't know, 12, 14, 15, somewhere in that range. And they're going to school and they come home to, you know, the empty house for a few hours till their parents get home. And what are they doing? They're sitting there watching pornography, and parents don't immediately see what's happening a lot of times until they start seeing some changes in their kids. And I've just had so many women that are very frustrated and frightened by what's happening with their boys, and they don't know how to, I mean, they're literally addicted to on the internet. So it's a big problem. And certainly they can ban this anytime that they choose because they ban
everything. It's curiosity. I know that if that had been available for me to be curious about when I was 15, even as an innocent convent school girl, I would have wanted to take a peek. I would have been very curious to see what was going on. You can't blame these kids, you know, for being curious.
Right. I think that's exactly right. And there's
it's
something
very fascinating. It's extremely fascinating, you know?
Well, and they tell these kids it's just inundation. And, you know, even teen Vogue and magazines aimed at children are teaching kids, oh, pornography use is normal. Masturbation is normal. They have instructional guides on insane, anal sex, like all types of really radical stuff. And you're right. We really can't blame these kids because they have a natural interest in this. We are, God made us as sexual beings. We are sexual. We are meant to be interested in it. It's a very powerful drug. I think the other thing that gets discounted is that pornography is different than other types of drugs in that, you can use, only so much heroin in a night. You can only use so much marijuana in a night. You can only drink so many beers in one night. But when you're looking at pornography, these kids, there are horror stories that are coming out from these psychologists where these kids are watching pornography all night long and their adrenaline gets them going and they stay up all night long. And the thing is it's sleep deprivation. So you have a combination of sleep deprivation and their minds actually, pornography changes your mind even without being sleep deprived, but you almost have like a brainwashing factor here where the kids are up all day. They then start falling asleep in class when they're supposed to be learning, right? Because the adrenaline rush is so powerful. The dopamine is so powerful. They stay up all night watching pornography. And then when it gets time to learn about American history or about math or about English or literature, these kids are falling asleep. So they're falling asleep during the time when they're supposed to be learning, when they're supposed to be having their minds formed. And their minds are just going crazy because guess what? Kids can't handle it. They can't handle sex for a lot of reasons. It's not just because kids can't, we don't let kids have sex in this country. Well, at least we used to not let them have sex because they couldn't handle it. They couldn't be responsible with it. But, now it's just they're off the rails.
But the internet has impersonalized people so much that from those experiences, I mean, people who are just seeing it, you know, on a screen, they don't have the emotions and they don't have the understanding. I mean, that's I knew when this happened that we would get so many more sex crimes. And, you know, I used to be a police officer. I understand the sex crimes. I was fearful of this from the beginning. I said, this is going to be just something, a can of worms that we do not want to open up. And we did. And you see people that have no feelings about other people and have no thought about, you know, raping somebody or taking advantage of somebody in so many ways because of things that they see on the internet.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, the thing is we, when you tell children, like we've been telling kids since the 90s, well, you can't control yourself. You're going to have sex anyway. We can't stop kids from having sex. Well, there are two problems with that. One, telling young men that they can't control themselves.
Yeah, not a good idea.
You're creating rapists. You are telling kids, well, you just can't control yourself. You have to have sex. First of all, we should be teaching our kids, you better control yourself.
If you must control yourself.
You must. Otherwise, you will go to jail if you don't control yourself because you hurt people. You cause irreparable damage when you can't control your sexual feelings. But then number two, if you look at the state of sex education in America, and this is not, sex education should not be in schools. It's evolved, right? So in the 90s, they told us we can't stop kids from having sex, so we might as well teach them how to have safe sex. Well, now, what do you have in 2021? They're now teaching kids how to have quote-unquote safe anal sex, how to have quote-unquote safe BDSM sessions. They are teaching our kids radical things. Once you adopt the philosophy that children and people can't control themselves, it opens a Pandora's box of really deplorable behavior and activity that no one wants in their lives.
But you know, one of the things I want to accomplish in this interview here today, in our show right now, is that we make a very clear connection between everything that we're talking about that's so appalling and deplorable and Karl Marx and Marxism. There, people must understand that this is the results of the garden that people like Karl Marx, people long ago, people even in the 18th century and in the 1750s and 60s, when they were establishing the Illuminati and the Masonic organizations and all of that. And Karl Marx came along and he dreamed of the dissolution of private property, marriage, and religion. That was Karl Marx's aim, was to get rid of private property, marriage, and religion. He said that when atheism begins, communism begins. So the main target of the communist left is the family, listening audience. I want you all to understand that this is not inadvertent. This is not kind of the way things have gone. This is a deliberate campaign that was begun in Europe under the Frankfurt Group, and these people who broke off from Hitler and started their own little group. They were communists. The Nazis were communists. These are all communists that were fighting. And Karl Marx said that the main, Wilhelm Reich, who was the man who invented the term the sexual revolution, Wilhelm Reich was obsessed with the orgasm, obsessed with it. So he declared the family had to be dismantled. And his motto was smash monogamy. So these Marxists all came out of Germany and Western Europe, and they came into America, and they all seemed to go to Columbia University. I don't know. Columbia University was a big magnet for these people. And they went around saying smash monogamy. He believed in children's and teenagers' right to natural love. He thinks that children, you remember the Alfred Kinsey experiments, you guys, where they were experimenting with babies, little six-month-old babies, working on these babies to bring them to orgasm. They had absolutely fields of professors and sex managers experimenting on children so that Kinsey could write up his report that we are all highly sexual and that we need to be being sexual with children, that it's very important for the health of the human race for us to get rid of the family, everybody be promiscuous, especially with children. Now, these are serious people who are not kidding. They set out to do this, and look at what they did to our country. Look at what they've done.
But Terry, your organization, you fight against these kinds of things in the schools and against the legislation like the 1619 project. You fight against those kinds of things in the interest of families. Am I right?
Exactly. That's what drives us. And the thing is we don't just fight about it at the school level or in the schools, because I think that the other crucial piece to this is getting the Department of Justice to once again start enforcing the laws that are on the books right
yes.
now. And, you know, I understand that some people think that that's maybe a bridge too far, or, you know, it might be impractical at this point. So, you know, I'm proposing to lawmakers that they do something very simple. Just get age verification online. You know, just let's just start small. Let's start very small. Like let's let the pornographers still make money and get a grown adults, let them have access to it. But let's just do some age verification, and let's just treat online pornography the same way we treat online sports betting. You know, I use
this. Well, how could they age verify online? How can you do that?
Well, so they do this right now with online betting websites. So, you know, there's DraftKings and FanDuel. And in order to place a sports bet, I use this analogy all the time. My daughters and I, we root for the Chicago Cubs. And my 10-year-old daughter, Reagan, she can't place a $10 bet on the Cubs to win the World Series next year, because she would have to upload her photo ID. She'd have to verify who she was and her age in a very real way. So why are we treating gambling and betting websites differently than pornography sites?
Wow, we're not even treating voting that well.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, because they want to promote evil. They are deliberately promoting evil. Carl Engels, you know, the one who financed Marx, Carl Engels, wished for the gradual growth of unconstrained sexual intercourse, and with it a more tolerant public opinion regarding a maiden's honor and a woman's shame. So there should no longer be a sense of honor among maidens, and no sense of shame among women, and they want unconstrained sexual intercourse. This is what these people deliberately sat around in meetings and set themselves out to do. And so that they now, over the last 60 years, they have managed to do this to a country that was really not into this stuff at all. America
right.
was very different.
Well, when I saw this organization and started reading about it, I said, this is exactly what I want to belong to. And I joined the moment that I saw it. I wanted to be a part of an organization that defends families, because families are, first of all, they're one of the biggest, or the biggest, Terry, you can correct me, group of people in the country. So if all the families joined, it would be the biggest organization in the country. Am I right?
No,
right.
That's
it would be so that, great.
That's exactly right. We want to approach the NRA's membership. When it comes to and look, the NRA has 5 million members. If we're able to get to, you know, 100,000 members, we're going to be able to do a lot of really good things. And the cool thing is that when you get 100,000 members of an organization, they all then talk, and we can have family meetings, you know, in people's hometowns. We can have town halls. We can start to really grow this thing. Every new person that joins this organization offers us a chance to continue to grow and get into more communities and really arm these families with the resources that they need to fight
right.
back. You know, we're reinvesting every dollar that we raise here. We are reinvesting it into the program, whether it's reaching new audiences, reaching new people, or even building platforms. You know, we're developing a platform right now to where you can go in, type in your home address, and it'll tell you your school board, your school board officials, when the next election is, when the next school board meeting is, who's up, who's, you know, and it'll let you sign up to get text message reminders for when your school board meeting is, the day of the election, a week before. You know, these school board elections, they drive a lot of this, and they don't want
yeah.
us voting in there. You know, they have them on off years. They have them off cycle in the early spring, in the winter. A lot of times they have 2% turnout in a lot of these races. They don't want us voting. So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we all vote. We don't need 100 million people voting in the school elections. We just need a few million and we'll change the world very quickly.
Well, can you, do you want to tell me, or are you free to tell me how many members you have now, Terry?
So since we launched mid-June, we've already gotten 4,000, you know, dues-paying members recruited.
Wow.
We've got even more activists that have signed up to take action and get engaged. You know, we've started really small. We didn't even have an email list, but now since starting this project with APP, we're up to, I believe it's around 200,000 people that have signed up to get our email alerts and our activism wow. alerts and all of that so that they can get engaged with their members. So we're growing very quickly. And it's our biggest problem has been managing the growth. If I'm being honest, I've been traveling
so much. Part.
It really is, but it's going very, very well.
Through all of civilization, I mean, when civilization was founded, they say roughly in 1066 at the Battle of Hastings is kind of the beginning of Western civilization, and from that time on, it's over 10 centuries. Of a desire to bring some kind of order out of chaos. Civilization tries to present order in people's lives and in their communities and in their countries. But now with the abolition of all these taboos, we are degrading civilization from order back to chaos. And I'm sure we all feel it. You guys both feel it. I used to walk around a kind of an orderly world in the 1950s. And now, when I walk through the city of New York, you have no idea. It's absolute bedlam. It's chaos. It's impossible.
Well, you both live in very interesting places and at this time in our history. So I'm pretty happy in Texas. I'm just going to stay here. but the other things that we talked about, Terry, when you and I spoke before, was, you know, that the American family is diminishing in numbers, right? As far as the amount of children that we have in our country, right. And that's going to affect our workforce down the road.
That's going to affect everything down the road. And you're exactly right. Not, you know, I think in the 80s and 90s, you know, after most states legalized no-fault divorce, the biggest problem facing the American family was the insane divorce rate. But now, in 2021, we're facing two much bigger and much more pressing problems. And that is the marriage rate has fallen through the floor.
Yeah,
no one's getting married anymore. And two, the birth rate is below replacement levels, which simply means that we're dying. America's getting older. Our population's getting older. They're not repopulating. You know, you're not going to be able to fund Social Security and pay Social Security recipients their money unless you have enough people in the workforce paying into the system. And on top of that, you're not going to have enough workers to keep the economy going to provide all of the resources for the retirees and the people that are no longer producing, you know, goods and services. So this is it's a death spiral. What happens, you know, people don't realize that population has a lot of momentum with it, has a lot of inertia, and it's very tough to stop a population boom, and it's even tougher to stop a population bust, because there's a certain point that you reach when women are unable to have children anymore. And once a population has enough women who are no longer of childbearing age, they can't repopulate quickly. It'll take
generations. In these women's studies courses, in every college and university in America, the main things that they're teaching, the minute that the girl walks into the classroom, she's told, number one, be an outlaw and be a damned outlaw. Don't pay any attention to any laws, no laws, because they were all concocted by dangerous old white men who are all crazy to begin with. So you don't want to follow any laws. So be an outlaw. That's how you get people like Lois Lerner, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton. These are all women. Nancy Pelosi. They don't care what the law. She rips up the State of the Union address sitting behind the President of the United States. She does that in front of all of America, and hardly anybody objects. This is be an outlaw, be a damned outlaw. The second thing they're taught by the first day they've left their first class is be a slut and be proud of it. Be very proud of being a slut. You can do just what any boy can do and never have children. Do not have babies. You're just being an absolute patsy when you do that. So now the girls are not getting married and they're not having babies. So what are they doing? They're following their Marxist professor's orders and they're hitting the streets and they're joining Black Lives Matter and Antifa and helping burn down villages and towns and loot businesses. This is what the young white girls especially have decided to go out doing. If you see Antifa or BLM, so many of them are 20-year-old white girls and 25-year-old white women. These women are roaming the streets looking for trouble, because when I was 25, I had a home, a husband, and a baby. And I was just way too busy from morning to night to be going out burning down villages.
It is so difficult to be a mom. We need to be venerating mothers, because they are doing mothers control the culture. They nurture our children. They teach them their values. If you really want to change the world, don't go work at Google. Don't go work at Wells Fargo. Don't go work at any of these major corporations. Don't get a big job. Go be a mom and have 100 kids and instill values in them that you yes. want to see to change the world, because those kids then go on to have their own families. It's an exponential effect that you end up having on the world by just being a really good mom and instilling really good values in your kids.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty. Terry, I have a question for you. I get piles and piles and piles of political mail every day, and I'm sure so many people do, because once you contribute somewhere, you get lots and lots of things from other people. And there are lots of causes that are very near and dear to my heart, and I do contribute to them, and yours is one of them. But the question that people would ask would say, with all of these people, all of these organizations asking for money, why should I donate to American Principles Project?
I would say that it's important to support our work because it's never been done before and no one's currently doing this. Politics is so important. When you win campaigns and pass laws, you are having a huge effect on the culture. And right now, the American people are hungry for something like this. They know that something's wrong in our society, but they don't know where to effect change. And there are a lot of different groups to give money to and a lot of different causes, but here's the thing. Lots of other groups are focused on academia and the universities, and we have to take them back. There are other groups that are focused on the media and all of that, and we have to take those back. But The thing is, politics, campaigns, and elections, that's where you can have the quickest change. This is where the American people are. We can win. We don't have to win over the American people when it comes to there being two genders. The American people know that there are only two genders, right? It's the elites that are killing us. And while we have to take back the universities and all of that, you can have a bigger and quicker effect by getting involved in politics and getting people unelected who are hurting families. You know, I can't change normal everyday people. We can't change who the president of Harvard is. We can't change who the CEO of Coca-Cola is when they hurt us. But we can change who our member of Congress is. We can change who our school board official is. We can change who the president of the United States is. And so what I tell people is politics isn't downstream of culture. It's not upstream of culture. It's part of the culture. It's one aspect of it. And it's a part of the culture where the American people are firmly in control of. These politicians can't change laws unless we let them. They can't get elected unless we vote them into office. And so we have to take back the political system. And once we start doing that and enforcing a consequence on politicians who hurt families, they're going to stop passing these laws very quickly because they don't want to. Politicians only care about one thing, and that's getting reelected. If you start punishing these people at the polls, they're going to get the hint very quickly.
Oh, I think you're totally right there. And I really hope that you can bring this organization just, you know, throughout the country and people understand. And people can go to that site, savethefamily.app, and just look. And also you can go to American Principles Project.org, and you can take a look at all of the things that this organization does. I noticed that you keep up your site a lot with things that you're doing and things that happen, good decisions that are made on behalf of the family. I really like that news because there's not a lot of good news today. And so when you put it out there that this or that happened that supported, you know, families in America, I think it's just really important for us to have something to look at that is, you know, positive news. I know my husband and I were saying the other day, you know, if we didn't have radio shows, we just wouldn't even want to listen to the news. It's so depressing. So I just feel like your organization is a breath of fresh air for me, and something that I really want people to know about. I just think it makes a lot of sense to have somebody kind of tell us and have a place to go and look and see what does American Principles Project say about these people and you're voting. I mean, should you vote for this guy or should you vote for this guy? Which one of those people have the family as their foremost, you know, thought? And I think that that is so helpful because people don't take the time and they don't have the time to invest in really studying candidates. And if somebody does it for us, I love that idea. I mean, not that I'm going to take whatever you or anybody else say verbatim, but it's a place to go with an organization that has my principal values in mind that I can look and see, well, if they've done their homework, what do they suggest?
Terry, I completely agree with you that, you see, when I come on the radio or I'm anywhere speaking or lecturing, I always tell people my story and this whole business. And then when I get finished talking, giving my spiel, people often say, well, what should we do? I don't know. What can we do? I say, well, number one, we have to do exactly what these women who sat around this table and established National Organization for Women over 50, 60 years ago. They decided to infiltrate every institution in America, every judiciary, every legislature, every PTA, every library system. They decided to just infiltrate, and that they would get the results that they wanted. So my answer is we absolutely must infiltrate back. We have to take back the universities. We have to take back the congresses, the legislatures. We have to take back the governorships and the mayoralties. We've got to take it all back just the same way they took it away from us. And the other thing we have to do is, I tell everybody, go out and find the love of your life, marry them, and have a lot of children. Found a family. The problem is that the family has been destroyed. So in order to solve that problem, we have to found a whole bunch of new families. And people have to really deliberately go out. This has to be a movement. And that's why you're so important, Terry, and what you're doing is so vital. Because we have to have a movement, a family movement, where people are going out and deliberately founding families and having, as you, many children, 4, 5, 6 kids, and doing everything you can to raise them properly. Because, see, the thing, my campaign, my personal campaign, is to get it back so that men are running the world and women are running society. Because when women run society, which they must do, women must run society, and it happens out of their office, which is the home. The woman's office is the home, and she uses the Ten Commandments because we're Judeo-Christian, and they inculcate their children with these Ten Commandments and the Christian Judaic values that we have here. And then out of their homes are then go out and flood all the bureaus, all the departments, all the schools, all the clubs, all the organizations, all the corporations get flooded with these people who have been inculcated by their mothers in a home with by mothers that have decided to go back to running society. Because since the women picked up briefcases and decided that they're going to go run the world, society got dumped. Nobody's running society now. Right. So society is completely, we have an entire society of unwashed, immoderate, unmannered, filthy, tattooed, rude, obese kids running around. These are the worst kids I've ever seen in my life. They're absolutely the worst. And the thing of it is, when women are running society, Bishop Sheen said that the level of civilization is always the level of its womanhood. When a man falls in love with a woman, he looks at her standards, her morals, where she draws the line, where her boundaries are. And when a man is really in love with a woman, he will kill himself to live up to her. He will do anything he can to hold on to her and to live up to her standards. So if the women could just pick up their standards and get rid of this slovenly, terrible, whorish, god-awful image that the American woman is now got. And if we could just bring back being a lady, being a woman who runs her home, who runs the community with decency, with the Ten Commandments, we can bring it all back. We can do back to them what they did to us.
I think that's exactly right. And Linda, I want to let you know, how you described everything about, we can win. We just have to make it easy for people to get engaged in the system. So you're exactly right. We want to make it easy so that parents and families know these are the guys that are hurting you. These are the guys that are helping you. And these are the elections. And this is when they're coming up. We want to make this all easy because, look, at the end of the day, if you're a parent in this country, you have your work cut out for you, not just economically, right, not just culturally, spiritually. Every aspect of your family and your children is under attack right now. So the last thing that we want you to have to worry about is going through every single candidate, every single campaign, every single election and studying it and seeing what's at stake. We're going to break it all down for you. We're going to make your life so easy. And, you know, this is what we live for. This is my vocation, is family politics and knowing what's going to hurt the family and what's going to help it. And so, you know, that's why we're coming up with this system to let parents know when their school board elections are. We know it's hard. We know it's your lives are busy, but we want you to be engaged and we want to make that process as easy as possible. And here's the thing. Mallory, you're exactly right. We can change this. We can win this. There are 130 million families in America. And I know not all of them are with us. And, you know, a lot of them are broken and all of that. But we don't need all of them. We need 10 million families. And you will turn this country around so quickly. And here's the really cool thing about engaging families in politics is there's a generational effect. Mom and dad involved in politics, when they see how they're voting and what they're weighing, the issues that they care about when they go to vote, those kids will then go and vote and act the same way. And they'll do it with their children too. You know, we did a American Principles Project. We did a research project on how family structure impacts voting behavior. And what we found is that it's not the divorced and remarried that are raising socialists or voting Democratic. They actually, you know, vote pretty, you know, conservatively compared to the never married and the cohabitating and the children that are raised in those households. That's right. Where this country is getting its socialists from. And that backs up what Mallory is saying when it comes to the breakdown of the family leading to Marxism. Is that was their plan. They knew what it was about. And that's right. Why they broke all the rules for that.
And I'm telling you, I am out here, I am on my knees, America, begging you, stop this flirtation with socialism. Stop it. Stop it dead now. It is one of the most evil things that's ever, ever happened. Karl Marx himself said that socialism is the thin end of the communist wedge. Once we've got them as socialists, he said, we've got them as communists. And people have to understand this. Marxism, socialism, communism, it's all one thing. It's all working toward the one world order, where really what happens is the world is diced down to the elites and then the great unwashed, the enormous dictatorship of the proletariat. And that is something we simply cannot let happen. We have to bring back the middle class of America, that good, solid middle class that we had in the 1950s here. It was strong. It was effective. It acted as a community consensus. People looked around at the community and what the community approved of, and they wanted to be approved of by the community. You know, you have to pick the things you're going to shun, and then you have to shun them big time. You know, I just want the women to take back society. I want women to go home. Get back in your home and run society, because the men can't have a world to run if the women don't give them a society.
Yeah. And that's, I agree with you so much there, Mallory. And I think that for a lot of women today, that's a really hard concept for them to understand. And a lot of women want to be out in the workplace and they want to, you know, work before they raise a family. And I don't think it's going to be too easy to stop, but I can tell you, as somebody that did both, because I had to do both at the time, I did raise my family, and I did go to every little league game that they had, and I did do all of the things that a mom should do. You know, I just worked around it. I worked around their school, and so it's doable. Women can do so much more. On Ladies of Liberty, we talked about just recently what moms can do in the home to earn money as they're raising their kids. If they don't want to go out and be in the workforce outside the home, and this COVID thing has given a lot of moms the opportunity to come back into the home and work from home. And a lot of employers are leaving them there. And that's a great thing. We have a little awakening happening there.
I have to say that at my age, you know, because I'm 80, I have watched the whole thing come down. I watched all the young women being seduced into this great thing of having a great career and all that. But now I'm watching the, you know, the 60-year-olds are 20 years younger than I am. I have people I know now who are in their 60s and 70s who go to bed at night crying themselves to sleep because they believed all this and they got to be a big shot in an advertising company or something. And now they're 60 and they go to bed at night and suddenly it's dawned on them. Where are my children? Where are my grandchildren? I'm all alone. I'm living in a huge city. My big career success has done nothing for me now. I have nothing now. I'm living alone in an apartment in New York. I'm 72 years old and I've got nothing. I've got no children, no grandchildren. And now they're crying themselves to sleep at night. And I'm just saying to all the young women out here, don't set up a thing where you're crying yourself to sleep at night when you're 70 because you're alone and you have no one. You've got to make a family. It is the thing that you were made by nature to do. And you must follow the design of nature. Please, I'm begging everybody out there.
I think
don't
people,
fall for these things.
If people go to savethefamily.app and they see Terry Schilling on there in a video with his family, that's just such a beautiful video. How could you not love that and say, you know, that it makes you happy. It just makes you happy. And
it's such a gorgeous family, Terry.
I have four kids. I see my kids, talk to my kids virtually every day, even though they're all adults. It's the biggest joy of my life. And I'm so thankful that I didn't miss out on it. And that's why this organization just really struck a chord with me when I saw it. And I said, no, I have to do something here. I have to join. And Terry, people can join for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. I did the 5 years because I'm committed. I just think the organization is exactly what America needs. Tell us anything else that you want to tell us about the organization.
Well, real quick, just to get back to the economics, just real quick. I think that Americans have got the whole career and job thing backwards. In that the whole reason I work, the whole point of me having a career is not so that people can say what a great job I do or so that I can make a lot of money for myself. I work for my family. I work to provide for them. It's a means to an end. The end is the family. The end is not the career. The end is the means, right? I'm sorry, the end, right. The end is the family and the means is the career. And you're right. It's really sad that so many people put their families on the back burner. And here's the real problem with this is that what will happen, and it's not just not having kids, but it, you know, in some family, you know, look, women have been working for decades. I mean, you know, it's not a new thing that women have been out earning money. The thing that changed is they started prioritizing their jobs over their children. And, you know, Linda, I want to commend you because, you know, there were many points in my parents' lives early on where my mom would have to make some money on the side and, you know, do little jobs and ins and outs and clean houses or whatever. And but she never put us on the back burner. We were never, you know, her last priority. They worked because they loved their family and they wanted to provide for them. And that's what we really need to get back to. So overall, that's the America that American Principles Project is fighting for, is an America where families come first, where your careers come second, where your career is really a means to an end. And that end is creating memories with your family, having more time. That's the thing that bothers me about, you know, Joe Biden's American Families Plan, where he spends $1.9 trillion, is There's no American family in that plan. It's getting parents away from their families more. It's universal pre-K. It's extended, schooling. You know, these people want your kids in school for 30 years. they don't want them starting families early. Real progress would be more content in school and education in fewer years, but they don't want that. So anyway, this is the America that we dream of, is an America where families come first, where that's your priority, not making more money for your company that some rich white guy in Silicon Valley owns, but for you to make more money for your family so that you can have more memories, so that you can grow your family bigger and have more kids. And, you know, that's what life is about. It's about family and God.
But the Marxists always say the opposite of the truth. In other words, you said this thing that Biden's doing is named after the family, but it's actually to destroy the family. It's like Antifa. I have to laugh every time I hear this term, Antifa. I've never seen people hitting the streets with tire irons and smashing strangers in their head because they don't like their political opinions. That's fascism. That's the absolute definition of fascism. And they dare to call themselves Antifa? This is the left, everybody. Please understand that this is how Marxists work. If they call it white, it's black. If they call it black, it's white. Whatever they call it, it's the opposite of that. And you must learn this little formula because they do it over and over and over again. Of course, Biden is pretending he's doing something pro-family, when in the long run, and you look at the reality of it, they're just putting out termites to eat out the foundation of the house. And this is all that the left ever does.
Terry, can you tell people how to get involved with your organization, how to join, how to donate?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's just savethefamily.app. Basically, we only have 1 year memberships left right now because we sold out of the, I know it sounds weird selling out of 5 year memberships, but we sold out of all of the, we give people swag, like little items like hats and koozies and stuff like that. And so we sold out of our 5 year and 3 year and 2 year. So we just got the 1 year memberships right now, but go to savethefamily.app. It's $25 a year. It's not much. This is really just meant to get people to dip their toes in the water, do what they can to get involved in the political system. We're actually going to be releasing a report here in the coming months called Threats to the American Family. And our members are going to be first in line to get that. What we're going to do is we're going to list the top 100 threats to the family and the allies to the family. So we're going to make sure you know who your friends are and who your enemies are. We're going to keep you engaged in the process, and it's really good. But you're going to be part of building this organization. This isn't me doing all the work. This is you guys investing in this movement and building it from the ground up. And I need everyone in.
Well, I'm in.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.